Thank you for listening to today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about our church and our ministry, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org. We pray that you were both blessed and encouraged by today's message.
Good morning. My name is Sean, and I do want to be here this morning in this up here. That's a good thing, right? I'm really encouraged that we're all still here after a couple weeks ago. That must mean we have some work to do, right? Still got a lot of work to do. So one of the things I'm gonna touch on this morning is creativity. We've been talking about the conference that's coming up, and just to let you know, really, we have spent probably the last 3 to 4 months just talking about creativity with the children. And it's been really amazing, actually, to see God ignite some things within your children in many different areas. And so we're going to look at some of the stuff that we've talked about with that. I was just going to start by asking, Pastor Dave and Susie have been such an incredible impact in our lives. When we came here, we were coming out from a children's ministry situation where we had really just worked so hard at it that we kind of let ourselves get to the point where we were burnt out a little bit, to be honest with you. And, these guys were very instrumental in saying, hey, you got something in there that's inside of you that you need to do, and basically get back in there and get back at it. And I just want to ask you, in the areas of creativity, a lot of times we hold ourselves back, but how many of you, by show of hands, have actually been impacted by Pastor Dave and Susie as they've encouraged you to find out what it is that God has put on the inside of you and do it to the best of your ability? These guys, just show your hand, raise your hands. I mean, if you look around here right now, just look around. Look at all the people that Pastor Dave and Susie have touched and said, find out what it is that you do. Do it to the best of your ability. And then what happens is, it's like with everybody that's around you, the kingdom of heaven just ignites within them. And we're going to talk about creativity a little bit, but I just wanted to honor these guys because, man, I mean, if it wasn't for encouragement, a lot of times I wonder what we would be doing, So thank you. For all the kids that are here today, I'd like you guys to come up and sit right up in the front. That'd be great. We've got a special treat for you guys today. It's not going to happen right away, but I've got, these guys have done some pretty amazing stuff, actually, in the past few months. So come on up. Come on up. You're one of the kids too, Rachel? Yay! Rachel's still a kid. Rachel's been soaking in the sun in California for months, almost a year now or whatever, so, wow. I told her when she came back, she was just beaming. She's like, she's just been soaking, so it's awesome. I want to talk just briefly about camp. There's many things that I like. Signs and Wonders Camp is coming up. It's for ages 8 to 12. All right. Looks like we've got a little bit of a... All right, then. We got some signs here. I see one sign that says hot dogs. All right.
Thank you.
Camp is August 8th through the 12th. It's at Lake Geneva Christian Center again. And, you know, some of the things I really like about camp are the blob. I mean, I get to see kids launched. Look at this big pillow, right? And these people climb up. Big people go up on top of the pillow. And it's the kids sit at the other end of this big long pillow, and then they'll jump off, and then kids go flying through the air, water. It's really fun. So the blob, that's fun. They got a rock wall there. That's fun. Every year they have a water war where it's kids against the counselors, where it's crazy. I mean, it's wet and crazy, and that's a blast. The games, there's a glacier that big out sits out in the water, and kids can go climb up this like it's like a rock wall in the water, and then they can slide off the other side and splash it out in the water. All the activities, the wonderful snacks at the Oasis. But you know what's really cool about camp? Last year when we went to camp, I saw something that I've never seen before. I saw children. Every child that went to this camp was participating. They were participating in what I believe is actually a movement, a prayer movement amongst children. And every child there, you know, for years I was told that a kid's attention span was about equal to the amount of years that they've been alive. Okay, so if you got a 10-year-old kid, it's about 10 minutes. I disagree. But what I really saw there was really cool because, and I thought at first when they kind of told me, this is what we're going to do on one of the last days of camp, 2.5 hours of kids coming up to the stage in rapid fire prayer and worship. And I thought, 2.5 hours, okay, we'll see if we'll lose them. They picked 3 subjects for those 2.5 hours. One of them was kids were praying for children to be healed in the children's hospitals in Minneapolis. And kids would come up and they'd do a little bit of worship and they'd come up and they'd start crying out in intercession on behalf of the children that were sick in the hospitals in Minneapolis. Then they went into abortion, and they started crying out for the moms that were contemplating a decision for them to choose life. And that just stirred it up even more. And I saw kids nonstop for 2.5 hours come up to the stage in prayer. Everybody participated. Every child that was there participated, and there wasn't anybody that felt like they were just sitting there not participating. And I was amazed. Charity was there. I sat back and I practically bawled my eyes out. I'll start crying again if I keep talking about it. But, you know, that's what's really cool about camp to me. A lot of things could have happened at camp, but to see children activated is just, it's precious. And I've been to a lot of different Bible camps over the years, but to see that one and to see the kids just ignited in that was just incredible. So enough about camp, but you know, for the next few weeks, I am gonna have a table back there because I really wanna know what we're gonna have for attendance. I've even got some people that don't go to this church that have been asking me if they could come with our church. We're probably going to be including them. One of them was with us last year. So if you're interested in camp, please, there's a sign up back there at the information desk, and that'll just give me an idea if you want to come or not. So. All right. I'm into technology, so this is everything for me right here. I've got the notes and the Bible and everything right here. So, I want to talk about creativity and creativity in the classroom a little bit. You guys have been there, and you noticed that we talked about creativity. And one of the funnest parts, we started by talking about writing We talked about writing books, and we talked about writing poetry, and we talked about writing different things. So I just back up a little bit. We started by talking about creativity from the standpoint of, hey, guess what? You were created in God's image. God's the ultimate creator. And if you're created in His image, guess what? You're creative. We took a look. I just went on in Google, and here's a fun thing for you to do sometime. If you go on to Google and click images, and then just look at galaxies. And all these pictures will come up of all these galaxies that they've actually taken pictures of. And what's amazing about that is that's so infinite that there's so many of them that they probably haven't even taken pictures of. But if you look at just how creative those galaxies look, it'll blow you away. And then I just took all these pictures and I put them in a slideshow and I showed the kids the pictures of the galaxies and I showed them pictures of animals and I showed them pictures of just different things on the earth and then different things in the sea and all these things that were created by this God that created us in His image. And I started to see the kids go, yeah, that is so cool. If you look at the galaxies, it's almost like he's up there with a paintbrush painting those things. It's awesome. So we talked about that, and then we got into some different aspects of it. Writing. Josh Mell is one of the ones that I've been talking to for a few years now. He comes and shares with me some of the stories and ideas that he has. And it's like, wow, that's really cool. And then I just shared with the kids, you know, we can write. We can have we can encouraged to journal and write. And then Jim and Hillary did a thing with some of the kids about poetry. Some of the kids were writing awesome poems. Some of them weren't so awesome. They were kind of weird, but but hey, you know what? That's cool. That's cool because we give them space to create. So one of the things that we wanted, the next thing we moved into was actually writing music. We got into music, and we talked about instruments, and we talked about the different types of praise, and we talked about how David had the tabernacle, and we talked about a lot of that stuff. And then we started talking about how we could create music on our own. And we got some instruments out. We did some goofy stuff. And then We decided to write some songs, didn't we, guys? We wrote two songs. One of them was a goofy song. That was really turned out kind of strange. But the second song, they wanted to write about Justin Bieber, and I don't know what that's all about. But but the second song, I said, all right, we did this one. We did the goofy one. Let's write a worship song. And we're going to share with you guys this morning the worship song that we wrote, and I'm amazed, actually. And hopefully you guys will be too, because this is just, you know, I'm going to share with you just a little bit of our creative process. I'm thinking about publishing this creative process, because I might make $1 million with it. I got the kids in the room, and I said, all right, what are we going to name our song? And everybody raised their hand. And they all came up with these different names. What's the one that we decided? Our Battle Cry. Well, we wrote them all down on the board, and then we voted on it. What are we going to call our song? And I said, all right, we need to come up with a verse. And then we need to come up with, you know, all of the lyrics in there. So they're doing Our Battle Cry. I said, well, we're kind of stuck now. What are we going to do? Everybody hits this in their creative process. We're kind of stuck. What are we going to do? I said, hey, let's play a game. Let's play I Start, You Finish. Anybody ever play that game? Where somebody starts a story, each person has a part, and then you finish. Well, we really used that creative process to come up with this song, honestly. We came up with a name. And then we did I Start, You Finish. We came up with the chorus, and then we came up with the verses. And this is our song, actually. I'm going to have Mikhail come up, play the piano. Benjamin's going to play the drums. And if you guys could pass this out real quick, come on up. Who would like to pass these out? Just these are for you guys so you can turn around and sing. But it was amazing to me to see what they came up with out of this. So this is really cool. I hope you really enjoy it. Go ahead and stand up, turn around. This is our song. It's called Our Battle Cry. Do you have the keys on?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we're going to have the words up there, so if you want to sing along, you sure can. These guys wrote that song. I really didn't have anything to do with it other than writing on a board. Right, Mac, sit down. You can hang on to it. Wasn't that awesome? Come on. Be honest with you, I don't know if I could have wrote a song like that by myself. I mean, I sat back afterwards and I went, wow, that's just amazing. It's amazing. These guys truly do not your Holy Spirit's on the inside of them. They have a full-grown Holy Spirit just like you do. So we're going to continue talking about creativity with with the kids. And because I believe that creativity just ignites heaven in the hearts of believers. How many are familiar with C.S. Lewis series, Narnia series? There's a scene in the Dawn Treader, or a part of the book, I should say, but Hollywood redid the movie, and one of my favorite scenes in the Dawn Treader is they're on this journey, and they're going to Aslan's country, and Aslan's he's a lion, but really he is the character of Jesus, God. And the kids that go to Narnia experience all these things with Aslan, and Aslan's like just this powerful force. And there's a scene in the Dawn Treader where they get to Aslan's country, and Lucy's just bummed out because she comes to the realization that she's not going to be able to come back to Narnia again. I can't come back. She's just sobbing. She's crying. And it says, in the book it says, because Aslan said, you're not going to come back. And he's talking about the fact that the world that she's going to is a beautiful place too. But it's not as exciting as Narnia, so she's bummed out. She says, it isn't Narnia, you know, sobbed Lucy. It's you. We shan't see you there. And can we live never meeting you? And Aslan says to her, but you shall meet me, dear one, said Aslan. Edmund gets all excited and he says, are you there too, sir? Said Edmund. And he says, I am, said Aslan. But there, I have another name, and you must learn to know me by that name. This is the very reason that you were brought to Narnia, that by knowing me here for a little, you may know me better there. One of the things that I've been talking about with the kids is imagination. C.S. Lewis was not afraid of imagination. C.S. Lewis embraced the fact that we could have an imagination and it was very powerful, and we could use our imagination to see heaven released. So I've been talking to the kids about our imagination, and yes, I've been encouraging your children to use their imaginations. I know you're all going, whoa, hold on. Actually, I watched a scene from Horton Hears a Who the movie Horton Hears a Who, and the scene is the bunny rabbit, or no, the kangaroo. She's all tense because Horton's hearing that these people on this little speck, and she's all tense because she thinks that he's trying to teach them to use their imaginations. Whatever, he really heard it. They just couldn't hear it. And she makes a statement. She says, if you can't feel it, you can't touch it, you can't hear it, it's not true. That's what I thought. Boo. So, you know, imagination's not a bad thing, but we've been talking about sanctified imagination. And the fact that we can take this out, separate it, and use it for His glory. We can use it for His glory. You probably should read a Bible verse just to make this meeting legal. So if you open to Colossians 3:1, Colossians 3:1. Says this, if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which were above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of earth, for you died. Did you say died? For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Set your minds on things above. I thought about what it meant to death. What does death mean in really means to be totally separated, completely cut off from what your previous life was dead. You're dead to this. You're dead to what it was. And as a matter of fact, the Bible is saying here, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, for you died and your life, your previous life, is hidden with Christ. And it's not just hidden so you can't find it. It speaks of security. When you keep your mind set on things above, it's okay to dream big and have imaginations. But we keep our mind set on things above. After all, in Hebrews 8:10, it says that he wrote his law in our hearts, right? He wrote his law here within us so that we could not just read it in a book on a pages, right? His law is within us so that we can keep our mind set on things above. So when I talk about, it's up pretty quick here because we got communion today. But when I talk about with the kids with creativity, that we need to have a sanctified imagination, but dream big and have an imagination, what we use is boundaries. What we use is some guidelines for our imagination. Really, when we create something, we create a song, we create a painting, we create a sculpture, an artwork, we create a writing, we create anything. If we keep these boundaries in mind, and we've talked about with these kids about prophecy, and these are the things that we use. The word tells us the prophecy is for three things. It's for exhortation, edification, and comfort. Correct? So we talk about exhortation. Who wants to help me with exhortation? Kids. Okay, stand up. You can sit down. Thanks. Okay, exhortation. We use this in our creative process. What does exhortation look like? When we say good things to people or powerful things that make them feel good about themselves, this is exhortation. It's filling them up. It's filling them up, right? You said, wow, that painting, that's so awesome. That thing really spoke to me. That's really cool. Boy, that what you wrote, that poem, or even that little crayon thing that you did over there, that's amazing. This exhortation, what happens? It keeps filling you up, right? It keeps building you up. There's a lot of fear out there today about beginning to tap into your creativity. And fear is crippling. Because what happens is people start to judge things and look at, oh, that's not quite right. You know, and well, I should have done this with their process. And, you know, but you know what? If it's amazing to you and it says something to you, that's for you. God gave that for you. Inspiration comes from the Holy Spirit. If we start being critical, what happens? Exactly. People's creativity gets deflated. They don't want to step out and do anything. Thank you. Then we talked about exhorting. Then we talked about edification. Or no, that was edification actually builds up. Exhortation is the drawing near. So grab the other end of this. So if you're over there, go ahead and sit down. Or no, go ahead and stand up. Sorry. Stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down. Back up. Okay, he's over there, I'm over here. God gives me something to give to him, a word, a drawing, a painting, something. And what we're supposed to do with it is supposed to draw us, now again, this is drawing them near to God. It pulls them in. If we don't do that, they stay way back over there. So, the process is to pull in, to draw in. As a matter of fact, it draws in so much, you turn around at your back, that it actually, if I were to be God, hang on to it. If I were to be God or the Holy Spirit, turn around back to back. It's like this, right? It ties us together. So as we use that process of creativity, then we're together. You get people going, drawing closer. The last thing that we talk about is comfort. And comfort really speaks of like this, like a blanket. Come on up here. She had a bad day. There's a song about that, isn't there? Had a bad day. Right? She had a bad day. But you know what? Something in her creativity came and it comforted her like a blanket. These are the boundaries. These are the things that we use in creativity to keep us inside of what I would call a garden. See, I imagined when I started talking about creativity, I saw this garden. And inside this garden, there were flowers that were incredibly beautiful that you've never seen before. There were nutrients, there were vegetables growing in this garden that just immediately gave you nutrients that made you feel just incredible and joyful. There were butterflies in this garden that were just incredibly beautiful that were flying around. When I saw this white picket fence around the outside of the garden, and inside the garden was all the beauty, things that we've never even tapped into before that could be tapped into, all of the beauty. The white picket fence, I believe, represented how we draw people into that garden through exhortation, edification, and comfort. We are going to wrap this up in just 2 seconds. Just 3 points, real quick. Realize where your inspiration comes from. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, inspiration comes from the Holy Spirit. I've listened a little bit to even Hollywood types that are grabbing onto the fact because they're trying to figure out why all these people, once they do their greatest work, all of a sudden are snared with this fact that their greatest work may be behind them, and all of a sudden they go into like these depression times. They're given these really soul low times. And as a matter of fact, if you look at some people's works, it'll get really dark after their greatest work. And these people are starting to realize that, you know what, there's an outside force, actually. Even the Hollywood types are going, hey, there's something outside of us. And I'm laughing because I'm going, yeah, duh, it's the Holy Spirit, right? Something outside of you. It's not all internal on the inside. If I don't do anything more, it's not just about me. It's about me tapping into what the Holy Spirit has. Realize where your inspiration comes from. Don't be gripped by fear. I've got a completely incredible solution for judgment, criticism, and fear of failure. Ready? Let's just stop being judges. Let's just stop calling people failures. And let's just stop judging, you know? Let's just stop doing that. Stop criticizing. You know? It'll totally get rid of it. The last thing I want to say to you this morning is do it today. Don't let your somedays become yesterdays. Don't be from someday I'll paint. Someday I'll write that book. Someday I'll create this wonderful masterpiece. Don't be from there. C.S. Lewis, one more quote. You're never too old to set another goal or to dream a new dream. That's what I got for you this morning. Thank you. Pastor Dave, back to you.
That was awesome. You know, as I was sitting up front here, I had the privilege of looking at all these kids, and you talk about creativity. Look at the way they're dressed sometime. You know, I'm grateful for people that can have creativity in dress. If my wife didn't dress me, and actually my daughter bought me this shirt, so But I'm creative, right? One of the things that's going to be shifting for the summer that I'm really kind of excited about is we are going to, Sean and Tammy and the team have, you know, that's a lot of work hosting and doing children's ministry every week. And they have been so faithful for a number of years now. And Sean asked if he could just have the summer off with children's ministry. And I said, well, certainly, you know, and he's not quitting children's ministry. Actually, he's doing helping with the VBS and doing the camp and probably doing a few things with kids in between there. But what that means is our kids, with the exception of the walkers through 2 years old, which we'll continue to have, right? The rest of you then will be in the service with us. Now, the reason I'm excited is because I have for years said that our kids carry more than what we realize. One of the most impacting times that I've had in prayer in this house is when I knelt right here on the altar and the children gathered around me and laid hands on me and prayed. I'll tell you what, I came up like a ball of snot. I mean, I was just weeping. And so what we're going to do is it's going to be a bit of a challenge to be able to release ministry in these next couple of months that includes the children. But I want to give kids a chance to lay hands on us and to impart what they have. I want to give kids a chance to pray for the sick. The things that they've been learning in children's ministry, how many know that we want to give them opportunity to do that in the big people's church? I don't know. I think the bigger people we are, the more I want to be a little person again. So I want to encourage us that over the next few months, it might be a little bit different than what we've been expecting. In fact, you know what I want to do for July? I'll unravel that sometime. I don't know if I can do that right now, but wouldn't it be fun to just have a service where we just didn't plan anything? Or maybe a month of services where we didn't plan anything? I mean, seriously, coming with an attitude and a heart of worship, with a heart and an attitude of seeking God, but just kind of not limiting God. This is risky, but it's something that I feel like is of the Lord. That if I say that I trust Holy Spirit in you, many of you know that one of my passions is to see the body of Christ walking in what God has given you to walk in. And yet it seems like churchianity, we set everything up so that it's almost impossible for you to learn how to do that. And so, I don't know, I have a lot of dreams in my heart, and they're just out of the box. They're just stuff that takes some risk, and we got to know if the time is right and all that stuff, but don't you just want to see Holy Spirit move? You know, in the Welsh Revival, four-year-olds were going to school and leading their teachers to the Lord. Kids were singing worship on the streets and leading adults, hardened sinners, to God. In the Second Great Awakening, nine-year-olds were preaching. They'd get saved, they'd go down under the Spirit, they'd get up and they'd start preaching. And hardened sinners would get convicted by the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you guys, I just want to see the Holy Spirit. I just want to give Holy Spirit liberty. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go there. We're doing communion. There's just something in my heart that just, we sang that song, I want to see His glory. I want to see His glory, and I want to see His glory in the ways that He wants to release His glory. And you know, when we talk about having a service where we don't plan anything, that doesn't mean it's leaderlessness. There's a way to lead in freedom. And that's the thing that we want to do. We don't want to just come together and just have a party where, you know, there's nothing significant that is understood by the Holy Spirit. See, we can say that, yeah, well, we've met with God. But unless we can define what we've met and how we've met. Now, there are obviously, there are some things that are undefinable. but how, you know, we want to come together where we have impartation and we understand how big and how powerful and how loving our daddy is. So, just some thoughts. We're going to break bread together today. We open our communion to anybody who knows Jesus as their Savior and loves Jesus. Why don't the teams come on up? What team are we missing here? Go ahead, you can start passing it out. What we'll do is we'll pass out the emblems and we'll just wait. The scripture says that there's a time of waiting. There's a time of examination of yourself. There's a time of coming before the table of the Lord in a worthy manner. And I believe that worthy manner, if you read the 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in context with all the rest of the scripture, it's really talking about how we honor one another. It's talking about the love and the honor that we have for the body of Christ. It's talking about, you know, just what Sean shared there, you know, how exhortation, edification, and comfort will build us up. You know, criticism and demands and harshness will take and deflate us. Now, I know that we can, you know, that whole thing can go into an imbalance where all we're doing is we're flattering one another. We're saying things that aren't from our heart. But the encouragement is that we want to speak things that are from our heart. We want to see one another the way God sees. I want to see you the way God sees you. I want you to see me the way God sees me. And part of coming together in the Lord's Supper, it's the communion of the saints. It's the fact that we're showing forth his death. The fact that you and I are not just human beings. The fact that if you've come into this relationship with Jesus Christ, if you have accepted Jesus as the one and only atonement for your sin, then you're not a mere human being. You're something beyond that. You're a new creation. You're created. All of a sudden, there is a part of the God that is inside of you. You're now partakers of his divine nature. So our language, the things that we say, the way we treat one another, needs to be different than the way we treated each other when we didn't know Jesus. So as we come together and we break bread together, as we celebrate this supper, it's our communion one with another. It's our fellowship one with another. It's how we look upon one another. It's how we see each other. It's how we want to encourage one another. Are you done passing it out? Come on up and we'll move things on here. They were all just standing in the back at attention. It was amazing. So as we break bread together today, I want us to consider relationships. What relationships are you in that maybe are a little bit askew? What relationships do you have in your life that you know that you've been critical with or harsh towards somebody? Unforgiving. I want to encourage us that this is a time where we just lay those things because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Because of the sacrifice, we lay those things down.
Thank you, Father. In the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke the bread. He said, "Take and eat this, all of you. This is my body that was broken for you. As often as you eat this bread, you're showing forth my death." Jesus then took and passed out what once was whole, passed it out to individuals. And it's in that way that the body of Christ that was broken, that we're all going to take part of this morning, that we become one with one another, that our fellowship with one another, based on the broken body of Christ that we eat, becomes something more real than just some kind of a country club, more real than just something we belong to, that we are part of one another through the broken body. And I'm not just part of a body with you. I'm part of the body of the church down the street. My pastor friends in this city who are preaching the gospel, because of the broken body of Jesus, we become one. That's what we're celebrating this morning. Let's eat together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. If you live in or are planning to travel to the Elk River area, we invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service at 9:30 a.m. each week. For directions and to learn more about our church, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org.